I'm Donna Cheek with Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio. Today, my guest is Christine Johnson, blogger and part owner of Eden Memorial Pet Care. Thank you, Christine, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Donna.
I read your article in the Equine Enthusiast, and I was struck by your sensitivity and insight into the difficulty of losing a pet. What has been your experience in that regard?
Well, you know, we've started this business 10 years ago with my father, who's a veterinarian locally, and I have grown up with practically every pet you could imagine. So I think the sensitivity comes from owning pets myself, being through it. I've lost pets through my whole life. And now that I'm a mom with two small children, we've had many pets, and I'm teaching them about it. We've lost our lab 3 years ago, and they had to see it firsthand.
I'd like for you to help with the difficult decision of when they actually need to let their pet go and opt for euthanasia.
Oh, that is the most difficult decision that any of us could face. You know, that's a question that I'm asked a lot. And I think every case is different. Everyone's individual. And what's best for you and what's best for your pet is a question only you can answer. But yet, I think that we do hold on to our pets sometimes selfishly longer because we don't want to let go. We want to keep them. The best thing that we can do for them is to understand what they're going through and understand what would be best for them. And sometimes that best decision is euthanasia. And having a veterinarian that you trust in making that decision also is important. That you need to be with people that understand what you're going through to help you make that decision.
What is aftercare?
Aftercare is a term for our industry that really is about the follow-up care and providing the care after a animal has passed. We are an aftercare service that helps people through what decisions do you want to make after then. Do you want cremation, burial, what type of cremation, do you want to memorialize them? You know, there's so many different decisions, and they're all very difficult decisions. But what we're seeing recently are people doing the pre-planning for their aftercare. Just as you and I, Donna, would do pre-planning for our own passing, we should consider that for our pets.
And how do we plan for aftercare?
Well, just as we would for ourselves, number one, how do we want to remember our pet? Everyone, again, very individual. Sometimes they're not comfortable with the idea of having their pets cremains. Maybe burial would be a better option. Someone maybe might not have a burial option, so cremation might be the best choice. So asking yourself those questions of what do I want to remember, maybe having the cremains and spreading the cremains somewhere that's special to them. So there's a lot of steps to take, because sometimes when we are faced with that decision, and it could be an immediate thing, maybe we don't have the choice of euthanasia, maybe a pet has passed immediately, and all of a sudden you're in this grief and you're unable to make sound decisions. So making those choices and pre-planning this aftercare when you're not faced with grief can be a really beneficial thing.
And I do remember one particular horse that was retired at my facility, and the owner wasn't around when the horse was put down. I did get some hair and had a key fob made for the owner.
We have in the past helped clients do those sorts of things. We've had mementos made. We have companies that we work with that do those beautiful keychains made out of the horse's mane and tail. We don't do them, but we do have a company that we work with that does. There's so many different ways to memorialize our pets, and that's exactly what you did for your client. It was so wonderful because I think you read it in our article, was that I've had clients in the time of grief, they don't even either, A, they don't think about it, or B, they think, oh gosh, I don't want to remember right now. It's too hurtful. It's too hard. And so maybe they don't think to say, I should cut portion of the mane or tail of my horse as a keepsake. But just recently, we had a client. She was very emotional. She was upset, and we just took it upon ourselves. Usually, we make sure and ask the client, but we just, for some reason, we just took a portion of the mane just in case she could not thank us enough. So pre-planning that and making those decisions ahead of time, there's so many neat mementos you can do. I've seen horseshoes placed on urns. I've seen shadow boxes made. People come up with so many creative ideas, and it also helps them through the process as well to heal.
That is a perfect segue to my next question. After making the decision to euthanize a pet, what tips can you give us to help us through the grief and loss process?
I think number one is not feeling guilty. Sometimes people feel guilty for grieving over an animal. We're now being called pet parents, you know, instead of just, you know, an owner. And they give us so much unconditional love. So I've had clients say to me, gosh, I feel guilty because I'm grieving harder. I'm having a harder time over the loss of my dog versus the loss of maybe a relative. And I tell them, it's okay. We all grieve differently. And surrounding yourself with friends and family and that understand having a support behind you, whether it's one person or a group of people. There's also resources out there through hospice that pets and loss groups that meet monthly to help people, I think, talking about it and knowing that there are the steps of grief and it's okay. And don't rush through it. You're going to work through this grief through your own time, and that is perfectly okay. And yes, there's a time where you should move ahead and start remembering, you know, your pet, you know, in a positive way. And there's ways of doing that, like memorialization and sharing stories and talking with friends and family.
I agree, and it's very good advice to be around people that you can talk to about your pet. I remember the last pet that I put down, it was such a huge loss. I felt so cheated that at 5 years old, my dog got cancer and there was nothing I can do. So I remember being in a restaurant with three of my girlfriends, and it was so comforting that when I was talking about Turk, they were crying with me and they were feeling my pain and validating my feelings. We all ride together. We all love our four-legged children with all of our hearts. I left that restaurant. I felt better. I'm Donna Cheek with Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio. We are talking with Christine Johnson, blogger and part owner of Eden Memorial Pet Care. Is there anything that you want to share with us?
Oh, that's a good question. This industry is changing every day, and I think it's important to talk about death. I think it's been such a taboo subject. People think of death and they just kind of, oh, I don't want to think about that right now. But again, it's so important to plan these things. You know, when I first started this business, we look at you a little cross-eyed. Now I'm noticing that in the last few years, this industry's changed. Now when they ask, what do you do? And I tell them, they say, oh, that's amazing. And so I think this is coming around, and I like to see that. And I want people to know that it's not something that you push away. You want to embrace it and say, it's inevitable. How do I plan? And I think also you and I were sharing recently about the whole pet trusts that are out there.
Yes.
And this is really exciting me now because I'm starting to do some more research on this. I think that's also another important thing for people to start thinking about, too. What do we do with a pet if I'm getting older? Who's going to take care of them if they survive me? So that's another subject that people should probably start thinking about.
Where did the idea come from for you to start a business in memorial pet care?
That came from my father. He was a pioneer of his own, being a veterinarian here on the Central Coast for over 35 years. He started one of the first veterinary-operated crematories in Atascadero 20 years ago. And we were around it then growing up, my dad being the veterinarian, but also seeing what this business was. And when I graduated from college, I was actually going into production, and my dad says, "Hey, I would like to start another pet crematory. Can you help me get it started?" And I said, "No problem, Dad, I'll help you." Oh, here we are 10 years later. I've always had a love for pets, and I fell in love with the business of helping people through these hard times and counseling people and grief support and all of the things that come with it. Now the business has grown, and it's just wonderful to see, and every one of the people who I work with, we all look around at each other and say, "Wow, we never thought we'd ever do this job, but here we are," and we all love it.
Now, you've been in this industry for 10 years. You were talking about earlier how you are seeing a shift in what people are willing to talk about and willing to prepare for. Just as an observation, and I don't know how accurate it is, but you can respond to this. I get the feeling that as technology doesn't require us to be face-to-face, we are communicating less and less face-to-face. The connection and the presence of our pets is becoming of more value because of the distance that technology allows us to have.
I've never thought about that. I think you're absolutely right. Like you said, no one calls each other on the phone anymore unless you're with your job. But texting, and I'm looking at my children, and they're already 7 and 10, but they already know what an iPhone is and know how to use it. It's very interesting. I've never thought of it that way, but I can definitely see that connection of our pets because of that. So that's an interesting point, and I could see that happening more and more. I mean, maybe that's why our industry has changed so much. You know, it's something to think about.
I'm a true animal lover, and I'm fascinated with the part that they play in our lives. When it comes to pure love, it can only be found with our pets. And I think that speaks to the reason why, when you were referring to people in the grieving process and how they grieve more for their pets or more deeply or more lengthy than for a relative or another human, I do believe it has something to do with the perfect love, the unconditional love, devotion, and loyalty that is very, very hard to find.
Absolutely. You know, even I watched our 3-year-old golden retriever now with my children, and he is my third kid. And we joke about it. Even my son and my daughter say, "Oh, it's my brother, Gus. He follows them around and does what they do and you know, worries about them if they're crying or hurt." And I've seen people, you know, especially with horses, and you can relate to this, Donna, is that sometimes we're lucky enough to have a horse in our lives for 20-plus years. I mean, talk about a bond. I mean, that's amazing. So, and unfortunately, sometimes we only bless for a short time with our beloveds. You know, we have to cherish every moment.
The people who have never experienced the love of a pet, they're missing out big time. People disappoint us, and pets never do. Thank you, Christine Johnson, for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to get out there and share our experiences and what we do at Eden.
I'm Donna Cheek with Issues and Ideas.